The adult beverages are poured, the kids are asleep. Welcome to New Dad Gaming, a show about fatherhood, gaming, and new fathers figuring out their gaming lives. My name is Trevor, and I have a 2.5-year-old and a 7-month-old.
And I'm Jeff. I have a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old.
He is like T-minus a month from being 3.
Oh, I would
say
3.
So it's weird to say 2.5. But it's still not technically there, so it feels weird to say 3. And right. 2 and 3/4, forget it. That's garbage. We don't
do fractions. We don't do that.
Man, a 3-year-old is... That's different.
You're getting up there, man. Time for another.
These have been so much fun. Why would you not have a third? I'd be curious to see how it goes, because... So 3 to me still is interesting, because it feels like it'd be an entirely different dynamic, where 0 to 1 is ridiculous. Like, it's awful. Right? It is entirely world-changing. 1 to 2, you're already in the painful baby space, right?
Yes. Yeah.
You're not sleeping.
Right.
You're not partying. You're not drinking or eating.
You're not partying at all.
It's just extra misery, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Enjoy, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. But mostly right. Misery. But at least with the 2, it's one-on-one.
Okay.
One parent for one kid. You're able to tackle it. Now, the third, you see, I wonder if that's not, it's a 0 to 1 situation again, because all of a sudden you are outnumbered.
And
your 2 oldest decide to run off in a direction.
That's right.
But what are you going to do?
Exactly. I always think of it, even having 2, if my hands are full, I have to make a decision.
Which kid do I love more?
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
Yeah, I wanted to pitch it to you. I was curious. I was thinking along those lines, actually. I was thinking about my life, my gaming life, how what it is now compared to what it was. And I guess I'd wonder, like what is your day-to-day gaming life? Like, what does it mean to you when you're gaming? And I suppose what would be kind of interesting, too, is to compare that to 2 years ago. So when you game now as a dad... Like, what does that mean to you? Like, what does that look like? I'm grasping for some hope.
But like, yeah.
Be real. But what does it look like? What does your gaming life look like now as a dad of older boys? And if you can remember 2 years ago to compare it.
Yeah. So right now, gaming life for me during the week, let's say during the week, is no gaming until they're in bed.
Gaming life is no gaming. Cool.
Yeah. There's a lot there. No, it's usually late at night if I have, to sneak in an hour or something. But it's usually around like 10 o'clock because my older son doesn't really hit the hay until 9:30 when he's out. So, so it's like 10 o'clock. Maybe I can sneak in something. On the weekends, it's a little bit more open. If they're awake and running around, or if it's a kind of a crummy day outside and we want to play something, I can play with them, which is great. But it has to be obviously like a hand-picked video game. So it's usually Knack.
Knack, that's it forever. One.
Ratchet and Clank, all those ones. Like that kind of stuff where it can be semi, two-player and have some fun.
Well, and Tearaway. I mean, you did Tearaway was a great example, wasn't it?
Yep. And that was, if I remember back a couple of years ago, Tearaway was a great one. When my older son could actually get a feel for gaming and navigate those worlds himself. Younger son wasn't quite there yet, so I think he was kind of getting bored just watching. So you'd have to kind of handle him. So the gaming life back then...
handle him. It's like one hand on the controller, the other one wrangling the son,
keeping him around. Yeah, you give him the controller unplugged, and you're like, hey, here you go. But yeah, it was quite a bit different. And even just the space I'm in now, 2 years ago, I had my own space down the basement, and it was kind of nice. And now it's kind of not there anymore. I'm slowly getting pushed out because they need room downstairs. They're getting older, having their own friends over. And I don't necessarily want my stuff visible to those kids either. So I'm thinking my VR set and stuff like that. So I'd rather keep it up in the main level versus down in my little basement kingdom. But
so you had the gaming cave.
Yeah.
But it's slowly been encroached and taken back over by the kids.
Yeah, I think so. And I think for the most part, I've kind of outgrown it. Again, as I said, any hardcore gaming that I do, hardcore being like gaming I don't want the kids to see, I'm doing it late at night. I don't really want to go down to the basement, and I know I'd just, you know, pass out on the couch down there anyway. So I'd rather do that on the main level where I'm comfortable, close to the fridge. I can do what I want. I don't want
to go all the way to the basement.
Exactly.
It's me. Like, all right. Or even better, the other scenario. Finally, some gaming time. This is.
Yeah, I've had that plenty of times. Plenty of times I'd be like, all right, I'm just going to boot up the PS. Yeah, out like a light. And that's
I've never in my life been able to, like, I can't sleep with TV on. That's too distracting.
Oh,
so I've never
been
able to just, I've never woken up accidentally watching a movie or something.
Wow, good for you though. I will sleep like a rock through all that stuff. I've had the PS4 home screen, you know how sometimes like it has the music on it unless you've turned it off. Yeah, so I've just slept with that on.
Now it's soothing. That's your white noise. Yeah. So you could just have this iPod playlist of nothing but
Gaming Dad lullaby to send me to sleep.
Bow wow. Boing boing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw any of those videos. They were running through PS2 nostalgia.
Oh, yes.
And they were talking about, do you remember how great it was when you had a scratch disc and then you heard this sound?
Yes.
Bow, yes. Wow. Like it, and then it does the whole zoom in from the PS2 when the moment that the disc is actually loaded and you know you're going to be able to actually play.
Yeah, and it was just like, whoom. And it was like, yes, it made it. I did it.
That moment of anticipation was just sitting there spinning. You're like, come on, acknowledge.
And you can hear it just like thinking about it. Like it would stop it and then spin it again. And you're like, no. That happened with rentals all the time. I'd go to Blockbuster back in the day when they rented games. And that would be one to happen. I'd get a scratch disc and it wouldn't work. It's awful.
My favorite trick was do you ever do the highlighter trick?
I did, yes.
So you just take a highlighter, scrub it over the entire disc, rub it off.
Yeah.
Pray. Put it back in there.
Are we saying that actually worked? Like I know it did work, but is that damaging? Because I remember doing it, not really thinking about it. And I'm not sure.
Long-term viability of that disc, you have to wonder.
It doesn't work now. It's just like rotten. That's it.
The new one that I see now is there's Redbox. So it's the unmanned rental shops that apparently do games, and people will just print a paper version of the disc and put it back into the box to go to return it, which is just heartbreaking.
It is, really.
Like, you get your game, you're coming home, open it up, I can't, what? Oh. Yeah. Especially on dad time. You can imagine, like, this is, all right, I got 4 hours tonight. This is going to be phenomenal. Yeah. I got my drinks ready. I got my, oh, no.
Oh, you probably all already done your grocery shopping for the night. You're like, all right, you know what? I'm going to treat myself to a little game. You get the game out. You drive all the way home. Kids are in bed. And no.
Even like the other modern one, I've seen a bunch of posts where it's, I bought this game. Wife gave me the night off. Got a chance to play it. I can't wait. Boots it up. Hey, I'm downloading the first 100 megs of a 6 gig update that you have to have before you can play.
Right.
Oh.
It's the ones that you have to have to play. Like I usually hit the, oh yeah, I'll play offline. Just do that in the background and, you know, let me know. But yeah, to load up a new thing. And the worst one I had was Battlefield. Just because it is all multiplayer. And so it had all the patches, the maps, everything to do. And I was like, you can't download 18 gigs worth of stuff when I just want to jump online for 30 minutes.
It's like, please. Just please. I just want to play. You don't understand. You
should have like a dad option. Like, are you a parent? And just skip.
Are you a dad? Is this the 30 minutes you have this week?
Yeah.
All right. You just sneak in the back. We won't tell anybody.
You play against other dads. You guys are all horrible at this thing. Don't worry about it.
I don't know if you've pulled this off. Well, you haven't bought the Switch yet for your kids for Christmas. I'm really excited for you.
It's funny how you say yet. No, I have not. I have not done that yet.
I see it formulating already. Like we're putting together the case for it to happen this year for you. I'm very excited for you.
It's good to have you on my side.
Yeah, always. Gaming dads together.
Yeah.
The new one that I'm seeing is you're supposed to, if you're buying a console or a game for your kid, you're supposed to open it and do all the updates the night before.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
All right. So you imagine you buy a PlayStation 4 or an Xbox or whatever for your kid. Christmas morning. Hooray. I get to play this game. No, boot don't. It up. Hey, you got like, you have 6 hours to wait of downloads and updates. So yeah. They say, okay, do it first. But I'm trying to think, all right, so you have to, what, ninja style, remove the gaming system, set it up, download, re-ninja it back into the box.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because I did have to do that, not with a Switch, but with my son's 3DS that he got for his birthday. So I did ninja it open. 3DS is not very hard to open. Get it in there, do all the updates, because it had quite a bit, and Nintendo's network is horrible to pump those out. So he did that all, put it back in. He didn't care either way. He just saw that he got it, ripped it open, and done. The thing I'd be afraid of is that I really wanted to play it.
Well, I'd be remiss not to,
that's
not
right,
to just try this.
See if they work, right? Like, so if the Switch is set up, I'd be like, you know what? I just want to see what Zelda and Mario are like. You know, it's been a while.
Yeah. I don't know if all this labo is going to fit together properly. Yeah. I better just give it a quick test.
Yeah. Try to put you that back into
all
the
boxes.
Yeah, so that's what I'm more worried about. Like,
you're so clearly going to get caught, because like, you'd leave your save file. All right, oh, yeah. Game. Hey, yeah. Wait a minute. Daddy save, don't delete.
Yeah.
What is this?
It must be a factory setting. Don't touch it. Don't touch it.
Don't delete it. Don't delete it. Don't delete it. But, yeah, you know, so there's a life of dads. Well, actually, sorry, before I move on, I do want to hear, so what, that is you currently, your gaming space is being encroached upon.
Yep.
You're not having that much time. But what does that compare to 2 years ago, if you can remember it? Like, what was, it sounds like at that time you had a dedicated game space. I don't know if the time, the amount of game was different.
The timing was a little bit different, because they did go to bed a little earlier, so maybe let's say 8 o'clock I could game, and being in the basement I could have my surround sound on. Right now I forgot to mention I play with headphones, so like,
man, even then though, surround sound in the same house where you got sleeping kids, like that's playing with fire.
Yeah, a little bit. Like if it's like God of War right now with a lot of deep bass levels, I'll turn off the subwoofer and maybe have the speakers a little bit down. But yeah, no, they were down. Like, it was not
it's
a
God
problem.
Of War. Your kids would think you're calling them, because all they're hearing through the grates is like, boy, boy. Oh, my dad's calling me.
Yeah. What I will say though, being in the basement 2 years ago and just having that gaming time, because it was more, I did have more of it and it was earlier where I wasn't falling asleep, is that sometimes they would sneak downstairs and I wouldn't hear them, and then you could just see the corner of your eye, just like a face peek at the corner.
So oh,
like,
so oh my creepy. God, what did you see?
And yeah, and being in the basement, it's just like, whoa. There go lock the
first
doors.
Creepy, second, what are they exposed to?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
So that's like the classic moment, like when you used to play with your parents home. What's the one moment they walk in on a game?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a stripper or some nonsense in like GTA.
Yeah.
The 1% of the game that has something kind of like risque, and then your parents walk in. Well, oh, hey, so no.
At that time, it was The Witchers, which is all sorts of stuff. So you never know.
The Witcher's like 80% that. So
yeah, that's right. I was at it for probably 100 hours in that game. So yeah, that was 2 years ago. I didn't think about it. So
precious memories.
Oh yeah.
So does you know, I wanted you to play it straight, but.
There's no hope, Trevor.
Does not sound like it gets better. So, okay.
There's no hope.
They graduate eventually.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there is hope for us out there. There is shining beacons. There are great examples. There are great dads. And these dads receive the Gaming Dad Victories of the Week. Now, this Gaming Dad Victory of the Week goes to Graham, who played his first game ever with his daughter. And it's a game near and dear to our hearts here with No Man's Sky.
Oh, yes.
The title he had posted was, No Man's Sky just gave me and my daughter our first shared gaming experience. And I don't think there's any better way to illuminate the post than to read the words that he had himself. So my daughter is 4, and since she was born, one of the things I've looked forward to most is being able to share my love of video games with her. She plays a variety of touch games on the iPad, and I've tried here and there to start introducing her to games. We have Lego Dimensions and Disney Infinity, though she has never been bothered about what is happening on screen. Recently, I reinstalled No Man's Sky. I'm not sure exactly what inspired me to, but I'm glad that I did. Today, my daughter came and sat on my knee for an hour, and we played No Man's Sky together. We ran around harvesting materials. She was awestruck as we blasted out of the atmosphere and into the stars. She was absolutely over the moon searching for aliens on the planets. Every time we found one, she got so excited and wanted to feed them all. Whenever we did, she excitedly announced that they were now our best friends. All of the games to finally break the barrier, get us playing together. I never expected it to be No Man's Sky. Today is a good day, and I just wanted to share it with everybody. Wow. Man, that is so great.
That's pretty cute, too, with his daughter saying that they're all their best friends. And
yeah, these are our best friends. And blasting into the sky, like going off into the stars and the excitement of it, which is, in that game, like, that is a really incredible moment. As you blast through the atmosphere, the star field kind of like opens up and you can see all the different planets. The animal thing is really phenomenal, though, because first, that is an entertaining part of the game, to see the crazy animals, try to find all the ones that are on the planet. Feeding them is kind of cute. They're making all those like tiny little chirps and beeps and everything. Man, in a full hour on the knee, see, now that gives me hope, where it's like the thought of like being able to sit, especially with a game that I love so much, and you're quietly enjoying this space together. And what's cool about that too is it just feels like a game that promotes imagination.
Absolutely.
It's a quieter game. It's not so narrative heavy. Like, you have to follow along. You're really just kind of floating around, enjoying the space. So, man, kudos to Graham. That is a fantastic moment. Thank you so much for sharing that. And easily you can see why this week Graham is Gaming Dad Victory of the Week. If you'd like to be nominated for Gaming Dad Victory of the Week or know somebody else deserving, we would love to hear from you. Reach out to us at our website at newdadgaming.com.
New dads, listen up as we go over this week's highlights of what happened in the world of gaming. God of War has dominated sales. 3.1 million copies have been sold in just 3 days. It is now officially the fastest-selling PS4 exclusive of all time, beating out Naughty Dog's juggernaut Uncharted 4. For comparison's sake, Uncharted 4 moved about 2.7 million copies in a week. So with sales like that, there's no doubt there is going to be a sequel. And even creative director Corey Barlog has semi-confirmed that, as he has stated that he has ideas for two more games in his head with the Norse gods. So if you have a PS4 and aren't shy of the gore, God of War is definitely a new dad gaming recommended buy. Switching to old school, Atari is launching its retro console in hopes of capturing the nostalgia that saw the NES and the SNES classic sell out in minutes. Atari has released some details, with the launch containing 100 retro games that can be scaled all the way up to 4K. The price tag has also been announced at kind of a staggering $199, and will feature the old school wood grain finish. You can check it out on Indiegogo and pre-order your own on May 30th. And in a surprise announcement this week, Oculus Go was announced and released this week. The Oculus Go is an entry VR machine that goes for about $199 US and is a completely self-contained unit. No need for a phone or a computer to do the processing. It also has zero cords, doesn't require a camera, and is battery powered, so you can pretty much take it anywhere. However, there are drawbacks to that, such as the 2-hour battery life. Having no head tracking kind of limits the VR movement in the games, and it's made by Facebook. So if you value your privacy, you might want to look elsewhere. All that being said, at that price point, you might get more people into VR, which can lead to more support for the VR world. And you can go ahead and order your Oculus Go on their website today. And you know those warranty void if removed stickers that you can usually find on pretty much any gaming console? Well, the Federal Trade Commission has decided that those are illegal due to a law made in 1975. That law specifically states that no manufacturer charging more than $5 for a product has the right to put repair restrictions on your device. unless they're providing parts and services for free, which we know Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony do not do that. So the big three and PC manufacturer Asus all got letters demanding that they remedy the situation within 30 days or face legal action. We'll see what happens, but I'd say it's a victory for anyone looking to have a third-party repair done at a much cheaper rate than the big makers. And a 13-year-old has hit it big with Fortnite. Kyle Jackson from England has been drafted by the esports team, Team Secret, and in doing so now stands as the youngest pro player of Fortnite. He has been playing competitively since he's been 9 years old, and through a balance of his schoolwork and online gameplay, he's now got a part-time job earning money from gaming competitions. His father has chimed in, saying he will accompany his son to the international competitions, and will also instill a gaming curfew of 9 p.m. every night to allow for schoolwork. Kudos for both living the gaming dad dream. And to cover off this week's releases, Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze launches for the Switch, Super Mega Baseball 2, Thrones of Britannia, a Total War Saga for the PC, and a non-VR version of Battlezone, which launches with the Battlezone Gold Edition. The free games for May were also announced for both PS and Xbox. For the PS Plus, it gives you Beyond Two Souls and Rayman Legends, and Xbox games with gold include Super Mega Baseball 2, Metal Gear Solid 5, Streets of Rage, and Vanquish. That's it for the gaming news for this week. Catch a nap and tune in next time for another update.
So what is your nostalgia pull for Atari?
Nothing.
I cut my teeth on it. Like, I remember having one and just 10 super random games.
You did have
playing,
one?
I remember playing Blackjack and I didn't understand the rules of Blackjack. So there was this dealer, and the only thing we enjoyed about it was if you beat him, you made him angry. Like, he made this angry face.
So oh, yeah?
The thing we're trying to do is make this little sprite's angry face go. But I just don't have a lot of Super Nintendo for sure, and the games are just really robust, and Nintendo, there's some interesting ones there, like really hard to beat Mario ones, for instance.
Yeah.
Atari,
I've never had one. I'm surprised you even had one. I'm trying to go through my mind on what is in those retro games that would be worth $199 to scale to 4K, but there might be somebody out there that wants that.
Yeah, like, I don't want to dismiss it. Like, I've seen enough posts from gaming dads where they've played Maze Runner, the one that you had?
Oh, yeah.
The two levels? Yeah, there's Maze Runner,
yep.
Pong, I suppose, Snake.
It's like the thought that you would Breaker and I don't know.
Thought you would put that up on screen and play that for hours? Like, it's a bit curious. I don't want to dismiss it, because, like, the nostalgia pull is massive for gaming dads that are perhaps a bit beyond ourselves.
Yeah.
It might be like that's their jam. That's what they want to bring in.
But for that,
we've previously talked about throwing kids through the ringer as far as like if you want to play any of the new stuff, you have to get through the old stuff. That almost seems cruel because those games were.
they were stacked against you. There's no way that our kids nowadays are going to go through that.
They're so rudimentary too. I can say I remember there's this one I played. It was boxing, and I could see that I really could see this working as a mechanic now, but it was top down. So like you're looking like just straight down at them. Your head was a circle, and your gloves were two circles on either side of that circle, connected by arms, of course. Mm-hmm. But you would, you know, hit them out, and it would just very rudimentarily go forward from that point.
Okay.
So you can kind of. So it's kind of like two E's, like fighting, except the top and bottom go.
Yeah, yeah.
But the strategy of it, though, is like you can only hit them if you lower yourself from this top-down perspective, but that also puts you into their punch range, right?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So it is surprisingly strategic because you have to bring yourself where your fist would connect, but you don't want to give them opportunities. So there's all this like dancing back and forth. Like that I found really enticing. Like that was actually a lot of fun. I could see that as a modern game, honestly, if they did that right. Like one of those mobile titles, mobile multiplayer ones.
Yeah. All I remember from Atari though is I remember there's a story about Space Invaders where you know how it speeds up as you get rid of the aliens coming down?
Mm-hmm.
That was actually a limit of the hardware. So it would it couldn't process all the aliens on screen at once. So when you start getting rid of them, it would go faster because it's processing it faster. <That's awesome. laughs> So I'm wondering if they had to build that into this next machine.
Yeah. They'd have to, because that'd be so bizarre to, like, why aren't they going faster?
Like,
I
the
got,
same rate?
I got rid of so many.
This is really easy. I don't know what...
There's a great YouTube series. I think we've referenced it before, but Extra Punctuation.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Hold on. Extra Punctuation, is that it?
Is it extra or... I know zero punctuation.
No. Okay, that's definitely not zero punctuation. It's not extra credits. Shoot. Okay, so we're doing the Google segment. Forever Google something on the internet.
There's an LGR YouTuber, but because he does lazy game reviews of old stuff. I'm not sure. If...
Extra credits.
But okay. Extra credits. Good.
Extra credits. It is just phenomenal. So it is a series of guys in the gaming industry, and the style that they bring to the table as far as their storytelling and their discussion of gaming points, it's great. And anybody interested, I highly recommend you watch it. But they were covering some old games, and the particular story they brought up was from the creator of Asteroids the Atari.
Yep.
So that's where you had like the tiny little...
Yeah, triangle.
Yeah. Tiny little quote-unquote cities, and you have the meteors streaking in, and you have to shoot them. And this creator had nightmares.
What?
About the implications of his decisions in the game. Not from creating, from as a player's perspective. He thought about the notion where to save two of the cities at some point within the game, he had to sacrifice one of the cities.
Oh.
And it would keep him up at night thinking that I had to let an entire city die from protection so that the other two cities could live. Which,
well,
wild. And especially the cognitive leap that would take, because it's especially so, these are super tiny pixels on screen.
I was about to say, it's hard to...
And yet it haunted him. Like the longest time that the thought of him having to sacrifice, quote-unquote, a city in this game.
It's very stark contrast to the gaming dev victory we had with the four-year-old and, like, full realized worlds and feeding monsters and aliens. And then you have these, you know, black and white pixel games giving people nightmares. Some sort of apocalypse.
Now, the Fortnite player, the 13-year-old Fortnite player, professional.
Yeah.
These stories are coming out of the woodwork all of a sudden. So it's universities giving scholarships for Fortnite players, which we talked about last show. Interesting and bizarre world we're in now, where it's these hobbies are becoming so mainstream and profit generators that you could actually get... fund your secondary education from it.
That's right.
But now this kid savant of gaming is already making money from this as a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be the next LeBron James, where they're scouting kids in high school.
That's right.
To see, like, who's the up-and-comer, who's the next athlete. It's not going to be for sports anymore. It's going to be, it's like, all right, kids, which of you young high schoolers are the best game players? We've got to... gotta cultivate you early so we can get you on our esport team.
Or better yet, it's like tryouts for a football team. You show up and then it's like Madden. No, we want you to play this professionally. Here you go. Try your game at this.
Well, you joke, but I mean, there was that reality show, and I don't think it was like massive, but it was about normal players trying to get onto a professional team.
Okay.
I don't know if you ever saw any of the clips or anything.
No.
Yeah, but there's this, I don't know, like, call it like 12 guys.
Hmm.
And they're all competing for like four spots on this professional sports, esports team, where they'd be getting like a living wage and everything else. It's curious. I have a hard time imagining that the trajectory continues. Because the trajectory that we're saying here now is eventually like your kids will get full scholarships. They'll sponsor high school kids, so eventually get it, I don't know, Reebok deals, whatever, wherever it goes, right?
Yeah.
Because it seems on the upswing. But could it possibly follow that trajectory? Could this possibly continue in the way that it's going?
Yeah, that's a good question. And are you going to be so involved with your kids, like post-secondary if it's like not the game that's popular at that moment. Do you mean like, no, I don't think you should go to Fortnite University. I think PUBG University is a better way to go. Do you know what I mean? Like you should specialize in a game that's on trend and that's going to last a while. Like, no, you should maybe look at StarCraft. StarCraft's a great one. Maybe invest in that. Like, I can see
those.
You
can have it as your minor, okay? But
exactly.
Look, your mother majored in PUBG. I majored in PUBG. Yeah. We're a PUBG family. I won't have this nonsense in my house.
That's right.
I hate you, Dad.
Son, you've been taking real-time strategy lessons again, haven't you? This is an FPS family. You can't be here.
Why's your backpack so round? Nothing. Is that a real basketball in my house? You know that's not why we do things.
We don't allow that here. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it seems to be moving pretty quickly, in my opinion. Or maybe just I haven't had my eyes open to that sector of games going into schooling and getting scholarships for it. But it just seems like these people are grabbing onto whatever's on trend and giving people something to kind of balance their schoolwork. This isn't a full-time job in college yet. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it'll ever get to that point. Or maybe it will. But it seems kind of like the same way as becoming a YouTube star, like us, obviously. kind of living off that wage. And, you know, do you go into school? Do you kind of go off your own talent and innate ability to be in the gaming world? Like, do you need something else along with that? I could see so much pushback with like, no, Dad, I'm good at Fortnite. I'm doing this. I can take school anytime. Anytime so I can take a BCom. And go into business.
So that'd be the tricky. Well, is that the conversation? What I'm going to be scouring for, what I really want to start to see is the comparison between professional sports families and what would be professional game esports families. In the sense that, like, at what point your kid is pretty good at basketball and they want to dedicate everything to it, but it's like,
right.
You're not that good, or okay, if we're going to do this, you're going to have to dedicate everything you are to it, and we have to get a coach. Like, where do they start to intersect, and where do those storylines become the same? Because now this is uncharted.
Right.
This is uncharted territory around how, if you had a savant kid who is just incredible at video games, and they're passionate about it, and they want to pursue it, like really honestly pursue it, I want to become an esports professional.
Yeah.
We have no tools for how to understand how to handle that. At least with sport, as a sports parent, you would have something to turn to.
Yeah, and maybe you look towards that too on how they kind of deal with that decision. Do you know what I mean? Like, at some point, like you said, they're going to have to realize that their kid is not going to cut it, or that you're going to have to really buckle down and train hard to get into whatever esports or rep team that happens with video gaming now.
I'll say that. And look, like, you know, I love me some video games, but there's also just something about the fact with sports that, like, worst case, at least you'll have some good physicality. You're going to be in great shape.
Yeah.
With video games, it's kind of like,
there's that stigma still attached to it, right? Like,
yeah,
you don't go out. Like, those esport team players, some of those guys are, they go to a gym, like they don't sweat it about their health, and it seems like they game 8 hours a day and then hit the gym the other 8 hours. So I don't know, like, again, this is all very new and very scary. And I never thought I'd say that. Because
scary world. Well, so we got to keep on top of it. This is look, gaming dads, this is coming up. This is what our kids are walking into, so we got to be on top of it.
Follow up.
We need to produce the guide for so your kid wants to be an esports pro,
right?
A step by step dad manual.
We'll
step
get there.
One, coming to terms with the fact you will never beat your son at video games. Son or daughter at video games.
That's the worst part of all this, really. No, he can't.
You know, it's like when did Leonardo da Vinci's father give up? How old is he? The famous story with Leonardo da Vinci, where his father saw his drawings.
Yeah.
And just gave up being an artist. Up, like, I can't. I suck compared to this kid. So you're going to see this kid get number one in Fortnite. You're like,
that's it. Just put the controller down.
Life's over.
Put the controller down. Speaking of Fortnite, just a quick sidebar. My kid. You know when there's dance moves, there's the dab that was popular. Now it's Fortnite dances that I'm getting. Yep.
So isn't it though, like real life bleeds into Fortnite, but you're seeing it as Fortnite is bleeding into real life, where the Fortnite dance is what people are doing?
And they play Fortnite at recess. And my kid has only played Fortnite once, and he just gets it from other kids. So they play Fortnite at recess, like tag, not like on a console or anything.
Yeah, I thought maybe one of the cool kids with a smartphone. Nope. Like, oh no.
No, they play it and then they do the dances. So he comes home and he does that, you know, he sticks the L on his forehead and does a jig. I'm like, are you serious? This is what's happening right now. This is not cool.
I told you, this is a PUBG house. We're going to PUBG Get University.
Out. Get out. That's it. Yeah.
But with that harrowing future, we will wrap it up for this week. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. This has been New Dad Gaming. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can find us at our website, newdadgaming.com, as well as on Facebook and Twitter. We would love to hear from you with show ideas, questions, or anything else you'd like to throw our way. If you'd like to be New Dad Gaming Victory of the Week or know somebody else deserving, of course, please submit that as well. You can find the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and any other podcasting service, Stitcher included. And please subscribe, rate, and send along to a new dad who games. My name is Trevor, and I have a basically 3-year-old and a 7-month-old.
And I'm Jeff. I have a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old, basically.
More or less. Give or take. All right, I'll see you next week.
See ya.